from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Thanks to everybody for joining us today. This is an exciting day for the organization, for the Buffalo Sabres organization, but in particular for the Rochester Americans. Very, very proud to announce Mike Leone as the 34th coach in the 68-year storied history of the franchise. Before I get to Leo, I'll talk about the process to get to this point. We just had an absolutely tremendous amount of people interested in the position. I think I got well over 100 calls, emails, texts from coaches all over the world. So that was something special, a little overwhelming at the same time, but a testament to what we've been building within this organization, I think, and something we're proud of. Proud to see so many people really interested in this job. We took a wide lens to the process. We didn't pigeonhole ourselves into thinking that the next coach of the Amerks had to be someone with a certain background. I talked at length with probably 25 of those individuals, and we got it down to a small group eventually over multiple conversations by myself to a small group of 5 final candidates that joined myself, Kevin Adams, and Mark Jakubowski on Zoom interviews. And we ended up choosing Leo as our coach. Couldn't be more excited about the person that we're bringing in. Obviously big shoes to fill with Apps moving up to Buffalo. We're looking for somebody that had the ability to build relationships the same way we've been, to continue building on the culture that's in place in Rochester. That winning environment for our players to develop in. So we found who we think is the right guy, and I'm very excited to introduce him here today. With all that being said, I'll turn it over to Mike Leone, our new head coach of the Rochester Americans.
Thank you, Jason. Looking forward to meeting with everyone. I just want to say I'm very thankful and grateful to be in the Buffalo Sabres organization. Like to thank the Pegula family for the opportunity, Kevin Adams and Jason Carmanos for believing in me. Had great talks with them. The feeling when Jason called, I don't think I'll ever forget that when he told me I'd be the next head coach. Just to be in such a great organization and work with great people. There's also a lot of people that helped me get to this point that, you know, I got to make sure I mention them. Just first, the Green Bay Gamblers organization for giving me my first head coaching opportunity to be a head coach and general manager. Brendan Bruss and Jeff Mitchell for believing in me. I would never be here without that opportunity. The U.S. National Program, all the coaches that I was fortunate to play for or work for. And then my first start, you know, in the East Coast Hockey League, and then with Bowling Green, getting the opportunity there as a volunteer head coach. And two, lastly, I'm not here in this position without all the great players that I was fortunate enough to coach at the national program and in Green Bay. Without them, I wouldn't be here, the support cast. And lastly, you know, my parents, for always believing me and supporting me, my wife, my two stepkids. You know, it's not easy all the time being a head coach's wife, but they've been so supportive in my coaching journey. I can't thank them enough, and really excited to get started and thankful to be in this great organization.
Jason, love to start with you. I'll try to be quick with both you guys. First off, good morning. Second, you touched on the process, over 100 candidates, interviewing 25, and then narrowing it down to five. Throughout this process, what stood out about Michael that led you to making this hire?
I think the type of person he is, the communication skills that he possesses, how he builds relationships, talking to the people that he's crossed paths with over the years. He touched on it there, but, you know, in his playing career, he, you know, played for so many people that, you know, have risen, to the National Hockey League, John Cooper, and Junior, Blashill and at Western, Andy Murray at Western, Lalonde and Toledo. You know, I think, you know, in talking to him, you hear a person that, that listens very well, that learns from the people that he's around. And you could say that's good fortune, you know, to cross paths, but I don't believe it's just that. I think a person like Leo ends up putting himself in those positions by the way he impacts the people that he works with prior. So, you know, he's got a chain of people that he's worked with over the years that are highly, highly respected people in hockey. And, you know, I think in particular, you know, his work at the program and then his work the last couple of years in Green Bay was important to us. He was the GM and the head coach there without prior experience and did an outstanding job. When you're thrown into a role like that, especially a dual role like that, without, you know, years of experience under your belt, you know, that's an incredible challenge, and he did a tremendous job. And we think that that prepares him, you know, for this job in a way that some other roles maybe can't. But for sure, it's the person, you know, in talking to Leo, in understanding how he approaches life in general, you know, he was an exciting fit for us in terms of this role and the impression that we expect him to make on our young players to help them grow and become Sabres.
Coach, I guess touching on what Jason had just spoke about, when it comes to young players, that's something at the USHL level you're used to when it's developing them for the next level. What do you see from the outside looking in now that you're coming in with the Amerks roster? Just from last season, obviously it's not going to be completely the same going into next year, but with the prospect pool that the Sabres have amassed and a lot of those players have played in Rochester. So what do you kind of see as you enter this first year in the AHL?
Well, it's an exciting time for the organization looking at all the prospects. Obviously, being in hockey, you watch the draft and in the players and knowing some of the players just from my time at the national program and seeing them in international events. But going back to the relationship with, you know, the players, I think it's really important now, especially all the young players, to, you know, really care about the player first and the person first, the player second. I think that's how I've, you know, started my coaching career. It's what I believe in, and in getting the trust level to work with the player. I think that's really important, and in knowing the why and why you're doing things a certain way when you're developing the athlete. And it's an exciting time for the organization. Obviously getting a lot of text from other people, you know, about the prospects and whatnot. So it's a really exciting time, and I can't wait to get started and working with them.
And the only other thing I have, Coach, saying with you is, do you have a sort of instilled philosophy that you kind of take as universal with every team you've been with, your coaching philosophy and how you get the most out of your players?
Yeah, really good question. I think first I kind of touched on it, but it's developing the relationship with the player first and really getting to know them and caring about them, whether it's asking them about their family, personal life, or it's kind of away from hockey to get the trust. And I think it's really important in today's modern day athlete to have that. And it's always been my approach, whether I was at the national program or even before that. And we kind of instilled that with our staff in Green Bay, that it was going to be a relationship-based approach to our development model. And obviously we had success, and I look forward to continuing that in Rochester.
Good morning, Michael. Lance Lasowski from the Buffalo News. Congratulations.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Curious, you're through the last two seasons at Green Bay, you know, coaching two players in particular, obviously Leshunov and Julian Lutz. The experience, you know, of course, at the development program, you're working with elite players. They're all from the U.S., though. When it comes to Green Bay, those two players, different backgrounds, come from across the globe, really. Working with those two, how did that really, you know, prepare you for this next opportunity where you're going to have guys on your roster from Russia and who knows where else, and try to, you know, help them reach that next step? And, of course, you know, go ahead and fulfill the identity you guys want to have as a team.
Yeah, they were two different situations, but especially with Artie, it was a unique situation where he came over. He was never in the United States, never spoke any English, was basically dropped off in Green Bay and said good luck. And we were a big part of his life, and I still talk to him a lot. Was talking to him when he was at the combine, but you know, helping Artie, for one, it goes back to the relationship. You know, Artie had to trust us and our organization, and it was more of Artie just had to be himself. And it was a crazy time for him and his family, and seeing him develop over the course of the year when he got comfortable, and obviously towards the end of the season, his 1 year in Green Bay, you got to see the best version of Artem Levshunov, where, you know, people really start to notice the talent. And he's a wonderful kid. I hope nothing but the best for him. And Julian was another unique experience. He was playing pro hockey in Europe. He was playing for Red Bull at the time, probably wasn't getting enough ice time for his development. So part of my job is, as Jason touched on, I was the general manager. So right after preseason, flew to Vegas to see him at rookie camp and got him to come to Green Bay, and seeing him grow and develop over the course of the season, where I think down the playoffs, Julian played his best hockey, and really exciting for him to get the opportunity to sign an NHL contract.
When it comes to just your perspective and your approach as a player, how has that shaped the way that you've handled coaching since you've gotten into the gig?
Yeah, no, like Jason touched on, I've been probably the luckiest guy in hockey to play for the people that I've played for. You know, they're my mentors, they're people I lean on. And just watching, you know, John Cooper, for example, his relationships with his players, how he approaches hard conversations, his, you know, him coming into the room of just caring about you as a person. And it went a long way. And in Jeff Blashill, and playing for him in college and learning a lot as a player, being around him. And then Derek Malone was a great communicator with the players. You always knew where you stood. And been really lucky and kind of paved my own way as a head coach and have my own thoughts and ideas, but my core values are very aligned with the player, the coaches that I got to play for.
Obviously, it's exciting to get a pro coaching job, but the fact that you're taking the position that was filled by somebody who has a very similar background to you, you know, that the culture you're walking into is going to have a lot of, there's going to be a lot of guys who have already accustomed to the MTDP development model, per se. How does that really, you think, help you as you walk in into this next opportunity?
Yeah, I think talking to staff members this past week and the assistant coaches and how things were ran were very aligned of, I think, how we did things at Green Bay as far as the development purposes of how we practice, how the training is. Obviously, it's a really long season, a little different than the USHL, but very similar concepts and development-based approach. And it was really comforting talking to the people there in Rochester where, you know, obviously Seth too is, I worked with Seth for 1 year in the same building. And, you know, I've talked to him a bunch the last week just on certain things. And there's a comfort level. And, you know, I felt like talking to the people in Rochester right now, it almost felt like I was working there already. And I'm just really excited to get started.
Hey, Michael, Thad Brown from WRC-TV here in Rochester. Welcome. Congratulations. And how much did you know about Rochester and the Americans before landing a job here became a priority in your life?
You know what? A little bit. Obviously, Seth, I was around Seth at the national program. So, you know, the coaches that move on, you always follow them. And I obviously with the success that they've had in the past 4 years and all the prospects coming up through the organization. So a little bit, you know, playing against some of the players were in the USA. Matthew Savoy played in the USHL when I was at the national program. So having some familiarity with some of the guys, but a little bit for sure.
What has been your impression so far of the little bit you've seen since you've gotten the job and prepared for today, among other days you're going to have to deal with here?
Well, it's good. There's a lot of talent, which always helps out a coach, which is always nice to see. But a lot of really talented young players that obviously have had a lot of success in years past. The guys trying to make it to the NHL, and it's an exciting time for the organization, and especially as a new young head coach to get to work with these players.
You talked about a little bit about having to go out and you know, almost scout guys in between practices. Mm-hmm. Having that dual head coach GM role, obviously you don't have it now, but how much does that help prepare you for dealing with the maze of personnel that can happen when you're still in the world of minor league hockey?
Yeah, it was a lot of phone conversations. I think it just helped me, you know, have relationships and deal with certain situations. I was on the phone a lot and it helps you prepare your, like Jason said, I was thrown into the fire. I had no idea how to build a team. I had reached out to a lot of people. I knew that that was my responsibility and tried to reach out to as many old GMs in the USHL or coaches that have done it before. And, you know, I think we've leaned on a lot of people, but it really helps you prepare for, you're doing everything from travel to building an entire staff of scouting staff and running your own program and making sure everything's, you're kind of thrown into the fire, like Jason said, and it prepares you for moments when you move up that you've been in those environments before. And it helps you. I would say this, the USHL is a great preparation for any avenue of coaching that you're trying to go on.
Hi, Mike. Bill Hoppe, Times Herald. Could you just kind of describe your duties at the national team? So, like, you went between both teams, was it?
No, not between both teams, but it's one big office. So you're with, I sat in probably 75% of SES meetings when I was there. So basically it's your offices are there two different practice times. So you're not technically on the other staff. I was actually – Seth asked me to go with him to the U18 Worlds Tournament that year, but it was a COVID year. But you're around both staff, so it's almost you know, you're kind of learning from both head coaches, and it's a unique perspective. And I learned a lot, was around a lot of really great people, and helped me pave the way for my own coaching career.
What are your takeaways from being around Seth for a year, from about the, you know, the person he is and what you learned, I guess?
He's got great hair for sure. He's a great person. He's a great communicator. He really cares about individual people. He's got a positive growth mindset approach. I learned a lot from him just on the day-to-day to, I think anyone that played for Seth would understand that they love coming to the rink every single day and being around him. Whether there's going to be hard times throughout the course of the season, for sure, but Seth had a way of, you know, people gravitating towards him. And that was the one takeaway from being around him, just the energy that he brings every single day to the office and the rink. And whether you're a player or a staff member, you really enjoy being around that type of person and coach.
And I don't want to ask you the same question as Thad, but does having just made, a big leap from being an assistant coach to a head coach and GM, how does that make this transition to being a head coach in pro hockey, I guess, easier or whatever you want to call it?
I think when you look at it, like the players that are in Rochester, I was fortunate to be around the national program with kids that were that age, and then also going to junior hockey where you're working with young players that have a really high skill set. And obviously it's different as pro hockey, but around the same type of players, same type of a skill set. And, you know, when you run your own program, it's your name's on the program. And it was a great, like I said before, experience for me to run our own program from top to bottom. And really exciting time for me to move on. And at this point in my career, and I couldn't be more excited.
Hey, you haven't physically been in Rochester yet then, have you?
I have not.
Okay.
A lot of Google searches for sure.
Yeah, no, I think you're going to like it. And then what's your first duty? Is it going to be at the, rookie camp or prospect camp, or what's your first duty?
Yes, Don, that would be hopefully a lot is determining on my wife is due in the next 10 days with our first child together. So it's been a crazy month to say the least.
Yeah. You know what? We heard a week ago that she was going to deliver in the next day or so. So she's delaying the process, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to, hopefully soon, but yeah. It's out of my control.
All right. So now the American Hockey League, you haven't ever really had hands-on participation in an AHL team, right?
I have not.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on this level of play at the American Hockey League?
Oh, I think it's I think it's a fantastic league. I think you hear everyone say it's the second best league in the world for a reason, with the prospects and just the level of play. I think hockey in general in the last 4 to 5 years, just how skilled the players are. The league is obviously younger, but the talent level, how fast the game is played, and then the inner competition you look at around the league, it's really competitive. The depth of the league, and it's a really exciting time to come into an organization and be a part of this team.
So do you belong to the philosophy of these days the game is mostly about speed?
Yeah, there's a big part of it. You know, it's a fast game. You have to be able to think, your hockey sense, the awareness of certain situations on the ice. But the game is not so much, obviously it helps to be fast, but to process the game and think the game fast, I think, is really important in today's modern game.
By the way, I did have a chance to talk to Artem the other day at the Combine for about a minute, and he had great things to say about you. So I just thought I'd pass that along to you.
No, that's great. He's a real, when you sit down with him, Don, he's a really engaging, funny kid.
So did you say that a year ago he couldn't speak English? Was that 1 year or two years?
When he came to Green Bay, Don, he spoke no English. All he said to us is fishing. He wanted to go fishing.
So, but was that 1 or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Okay, so actually he's done really well with English in the in 2 years then. So
really well.
Yeah, well, we have a few Russians that you might want to learn a little Russian yourself, and we're thinking about playing the Swedish national anthem at our game time, so it's quite a crew here. But well, we welcome you, and I think you're going to enjoy it here. It's a great place to be, and good luck. We'll meet soon.
Thank you very much, Don.
Yeah, Michael, just a couple for me. This is Patrick Williams. I guess first question is, obviously you have that background with the U.S. program and you're working with some of the best young talent out there. But yourself, you were a player in the ECHL for a few years where it's a different kind of grind. And, you know, players are in different stages of their career. What did you learn being at that level? You know, that day-to-day grind for players that, you know, haven't had necessarily such a smooth ride.
Yeah, no, it was... unique experience being in the East Coast Hockey League. It's the one thing I took away is we had an unbelievable group of people in the locker room. Derek and Long did a great job assembling the team. And, you know, even though it's a really long season, 72 game schedule, like the atmosphere that we had is we all loved being around each other and coming to the rink. And that's the one takeaway. Obviously, I've never coached in pro hockey, but the environment that I think is really important to create where guys love coming to the rink and being around each other and caring for each other. And it goes a long way, especially in the long season. And that's the one takeaway. I still talk to that staff those guys, those group of players that I played with. We were all really close, and that was the one big takeaway that I took away of being in the East Coast Hockey League.
And then you know, while you were in Toledo, Dan Watson was your associate coach. He's in Grand Rapids now. Have you had a chance to catch up with him and maybe pick his brain a little bit on this, on the AHL and what to expect?
Yeah, I have not yet. It's been a crazy week. I look forward to reaching out to him and talking with him, you know, about the AHL and the league and you know, helping me. I also played with Trent Vogelhuber in junior hockey in St. Louis. So we go way back.
Hey, I had one more for Jason. I wanted to ask, you know, this is the first time the Emmerichs have hired a coach in a while where there is – playoff momentum, where there's been a recent history of success. And obviously at this level, playoff success isn't the only priority, maybe not even the top priority. So how difficult a hire was this from the point of view of trying to balance that there is some momentum going in this town with this team, and obviously with the larger organizational priorities still baked in about what that coach has to do for the sake of the big picture of being a part of the Sabres organization?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great question. You know, it was definitely part of our thought process as we went through this process of talking to so many great coaches. Obviously, there were varying levels of experience. You know, some people that had significant pro coaching experience, and that was something to consider for sure. So, you know, we wanted to find the right person, like I said before. You know, what is most important to us as an organization is that our players develop. We feel that, you know, that balance is best, you know, for development when it's, you know, in a winning culture. You know, so, you know, there's different things to consider, but, you know, we looked at the various things that the candidates in front of us brought to the table and their ability to make that happen. And we felt with Leo that, you know, he was somebody that we saw being able to step into the role and everything that's asked of the person in the head coaching position right now in Rochester. And we're excited to watch it unfold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.